1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I want to get on into the Word of God. Paul here is writing to the church of Corinth, and if you read this entire 9th chapter, he's been ministering to them about, his ministry, his apostleship, his calling of God, what God is told him to do. And he talks about, the warfare that you go through and how you have to look to God to supply those needs and how necessity is laid upon him. In other words, God called me to do this, and I cannot do it, but he's still going to require of my hands the responsibility of it. So he says, what I need to do is just go ahead and do what God's telling me to do it with a good attitude, and get a victory out of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Because if God is expecting me to do it, he's not going to change his mind about it. How many of you found out that, God can be dealing with your heart, and you can just decide, I'm going to backslide and not even go to church and be gone out of church for a couple of years, and then you finally your heart convicts you, somebody ministers to you, and you go back to church, and the first time you're in the anointing, God tells you the same thing he told you 2 years ago. Amen. Why? Because he didn't change his mind. He's waiting on you to hook up with him, praise the Lord. He's waiting on you to get in on his plan because he's the one that's going to get you to the victory. So Paul is writing to the church and he's telling them that, I go through struggles just like you do. I have to make the right decisions just like you do. It's not just because I'm an apostle, everything falls in place. He says, God requires things of me, and I have to do these things, and I go through these things. And then he says down here in verse 24, which is where I really want to get to, and he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, that you may win the prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached others, I myself should become disqualified. In other words, Paul is saying, I can't preach this to you and not do it myself. Amen. This has to work for everybody. Praise the Lord. And so Paul begins to give us some things that we really need to get a hold of here, because if you're going to get a breakthrough and you're going to walk in victory and you're going to accomplish God's plan, you need to realize that there's some things that you're going to have to do. Amen. See, it's not all God. See, a lot of times, well, if it's God's will, he'll just work it out. Well, it's God's will for everybody to get saved. Why isn't everybody saved? Because you still have to enter in to Christ and accept him as your Lord and confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart and turn your life over to him. Amen? See, you still have to act on what God has for you to get it to operate in your life. So there's a God part and there's our part. And in these verses 24 through 27, Paul he's speaking to us about our part. And notice he says this, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may obtain it. Now Paul is saying here that it's God's will for you to win. Amen? It's God's will for you to obtain what you're running for. If he wasn't, then he wouldn't tell you to run in such a way that you could obtain it. Amen? In other words, it's God's will for me to be healed. It's God's will for me to get a breakthrough. It's God's will for my prayer to get answered. It's God's will to move in my life. You see, all of us in this room right now are running some kind of a race. You're believing God for something. Amen? Come on. Well, if you're going to run for something, the first thing you have to understand is this. God wouldn't tell you to run to get it if he wasn't wanting you to have it. Amen? So therefore, I'm not just running to run. I'm not just going to church to go to church. I'm not just reading my Bible. I'm not just praying to pray. I'm doing these things because it's God's will that I obtain that victory in my life that he says is mine. Amen? Mark 11, 24 in the King James reads like this, whatever things you desire. Amen? Whatsoever things you desire. In other words, what things that are of real desire, something that God has put in your heart. Psalm 37 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know what that means? That means that God will place his desires in your heart if you'll spend time with him. Come on. What are you talking about? That's he's telling you there, David is saying, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, if you'll spend time with God, God will show you what he desires for your life. And his desires become your desires. And then in Mark 11, 24, he says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. Hallelujah. Well, how do I know if what I'm desiring is of God? Have you been delighting yourself in the Lord? Have you been spending time with God? Has God been speaking into your life? You see, whenever I got into the Word of God, I began to get a hold of God's desires for my life. Amen? The reason I believe I'm supposed to be an overcomer is because God's Word says I'm to be an overcomer in this life. So therefore, if God in Romans 8 tells me I'm an overcomer, I desire to be an overcomer. Amen? You can't desire for something that you don't know if it's God's will or not. You can in the flesh, but you can't get it with faith. Amen? Because you see, here's the thing. All your desires should come from your walk with the Lord. Amen. And then once God puts that desire in your heart to be free, that desire in your heart to be healed, that desire in your heart to walk in victory in a certain area of your life, then what do you have to do? You have to run to obtain it. In other words, now just don't go through the motions. Be passionate about getting that thing that you're desiring in your life. Amen? If you're going to run to obtain it, that means run with passion, praise God. In other words, pray with passion. Confess with passion. In other words, do it with an energy in yourself that is releasing your faith and moving the mountain out of the way and believing God to work in your life. Amen? See, a lot of us, we have these little whiny prayers. And you can tell people aren't really passionate believing they're going to get anything by the whine in their voice. Well, I'm believing God. No, you're not. You're just running a race. Amen? Yeah, you're running, but you're not running to obtain. Because if you was running to obtain, you'd be elbowing and everything else to get to the finish line. Amen? You would be doing what it takes to get what you're seeking for. So he says, run that you may obtain it. Run to get it. Put effort into it. Put passion into it. Pursue it with everything within you because it's God's will for you to have this thing in your life. Amen? Now, notice this. He goes on and he says here, he says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Notice you're competing in this prize. You're competing for the prize. What's the prize? The answer to your prayer. What's the prize? The victory you're standing and believing God for, the healing you're believing God for, the breakthrough you're believing God for. Amen. That's the prize. But notice in the verse 24, he said, everybody's running. And then in verse 25, he says, you're competing for a prize. Well, who am I competing for this prize with? This is God beside me. I'll just knock him out. No, you're not competing against people. You realize that even if somebody is persecuting you, they're not your competition. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us over there in verses 10, 11, and 12, he says that we're to be strong in the Lord and draw our strength from our walk with Him. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the schemes and plans and wiles of the devil. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood and physical opponents, but our fight is a spiritual fight against these demon forces of hell. Amen. So who are we competing against? Your first enemy, your first competitor is Satan himself. How many of you found out when you start running your race and believing God for something, 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 begins to show up in your life? What's that mean? What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about your first competitor, Satan. 1 Peter 5, 8 says what? He says, but your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith. Meaning what? He says the moment you set yourself to run your race and win that victory and get your breakthrough, what's going to happen? Satan's going to come and start talking to your head and trying to talk you out of walking in the victory of God. Amen? He is out to steal your prize. Amen. Satan is out to stop God's blessing from coming into your life. And you're competing against the devil. Give me a good amen, somebody. Amen. It's good preaching, Huffman. Keep it up. I think it will. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you gotta realize something, folks. You've got an adversary. You got somebody out here that don't want to run and play fair. He's out here. He's out here to cut your stride. He's out here to hit you. He's out here to pull you down. He'll tackle you on the racetrack if he has to. I mean, he's out to do whatever he can. So what does Peter say to do? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. In other words, do what it takes to stop him from stopping you from getting the victory. Amen? Because I'm competing See, you got to, you know, most Christians, the problem with most Christians is we don't have any competitiveness at all in us when it comes to spiritual things. We just think, well, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. We've been taught, just let God work it out for you. And so we get into this real passive faith, and we just say, well, you know, praise God. But you know, Jesus said the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know what he's talking about there? He says when the enemy's trying to hold you out by force, you push yourself right on through, praise God. And he that competes for the prize. So the first competitor that I've got to defeat is Satan and his demon forces that are out to try to discourage me and defeat me and hold me back, throw symptoms my way, circumstances my way, bad reports my way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, that's competing. That is you fighting. That is you standing. That is you believing God. See, in 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul writes to Timothy over there and he says what? Fight the good fight of faith. Notice he didn't say, you know, just have a good faith. No, he said, fight the good fight of faith. In other words, for your faith to win, you have to learn how to fight a good fight with it. Amen? Why? Because you're competing for something. There's a devil out here, and he's competing to stop you from getting to the victory, and you're competing with the anointing of God in your life to get that victory. He's trying to hold you back and you're trying to get there. He's trying to keep you sick and you're trying to get healed. He's trying to keep you poor and you're trying to get blessed. He's trying to keep you miserable and you're trying to get happy. Hallelujah. See, everybody's running some kind of a race, and the enemy is going to compete with you to keep you from getting to where you're supposed to get to. So you've got to get in faith. And then Paul writes Timothy, says, you have to fight the good fight of faith. Then he says, lay hold on eternal life whereunto you are called. In other words, that word eternal life is the Greek word zoe. It means the God kind of life. That doesn't mean lay hold of going to heaven someday. Because when we talk eternal life, everybody thinks of heaven, don't you? First thought comes to your mind. Oh, Jesus came to give us eternal life. Won't it be good when we all get to heaven? What a joy. Yeah. How many of you know that God wants you to get to heaven? And he's preparing a place for you in heaven. But before you get there, you got some competition. Amen? Huh? And so what's he saying? On the way there, you're going to have to learn how to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold to the life that God has prepared for you and has laid out for you. And then he says you're going to have to follow the example of Jesus, who confessed a good confession in the presence of many enemies. Hallelujah. Meaning what? You're going to have to find out that Jesus had to fight to accomplish the plan and will of God, and you're going to have to fight to accomplish God's plan and will for you. Amen? And you're going to have to lay hold of it. And you're going to have to get passionate about it. And run this thing with passion, praise God. And you know what? If you're going to run to win, you can't get distracted looking all around. Well, I wonder if they're running. I don't have time to see if they're running. Amen? Because you see, I got my race to run, praise God. Well, you're acting like you don't care. No, I do care, but I can't get distracted by somebody sitting over there, you know, saying I can't run anymore. I can't get distracted by somebody telling me, you'll never make it. Amen? I can't let the enemy begin to determine how I'm going to run my race. I have to keep my eyes on Jesus. In Hebrews 12, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember that one? Amen? Meaning what? He doesn't want us to just start. He wants us to get to the finish line. Praise God. And so Paul here, writing here in 1 Corinthians, what does he say? He says, you're going to have to compete for the prize. And notice he says, if you're going to compete for the prize, you have to be temperate or self-controlled in all things. What's that mean? That means you're going to have to get a little of fruit of the Spirit, you know, temperance, amen, self-control. What's that mean? You can't just get upset and throw your hands up and go sit down and pout just because somebody bumped into you and stumbled you and you knocked you off your course. Amen? How many of you found out life has a way of throwing little stuff in front of you and trying to discourage you? And so what does Paul say? Paul says you're going to have to put a little self-control in this thing. You're going to have to get control of your emotions. You're going to have to get control of your feelings. You're going to have to get control of yourself. Don't try to control everybody around you. You can't. But between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, you can get control of you. Amen? And you see, Paul says the devil's going to be there to hinder you. And if you let him, he will hinder you and he will control how you live. He'll control how you talk. He'll control your praise. He'll control your faith. He'll control your vision. He'll control your pace that you're running. Oh, it's gotten quiet in this Presbyterian church tonight. Amen? Huh? See, we're in a race, folks. We're in a battle. Even the Apostle Paul, he told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he says, I wanted to come to you multiple times, several times. It was in my heart to come to you, but Satan hindered me from getting there. Notice he said he hindered me. He said he didn't stop him. He said he hindered him. Amen? How many of you know that whenever you're running this race and using your faith, every now and then the devil may hinder you? Anybody ever been hindered besides me when you're out here using your faith? What's that mean? Something delayed it? Something happened you wasn't really wanting? Amen? See, it's just like this. You know, if you watch some of these races, you'll see somebody and he's just running real good and he's, you know, looks like he's doing really well, and somebody will run up beside him and cut over in front of him and you know, stumbles. He stumbles a little bit and he gets off. You know what? Right there, you had to make a choice. Am I going to just get mad and upset and just quit right here? Or am I going to pick up my pace, get my focus back, and not let this thing stop me from getting where I'm going? Because the enemy will throw little things in your life to hinder you. Paul said, I wanted to come to you, Thessalonians, several times, but the devil himself hindered me from getting there. He didn't stop him because Paul got there. Hallelujah. And Paul ministered to these people. And Paul brought forth exactly what he prayed. In fact, Paul in the next chapter says, listen, because of this hindrance, I prayed earnestly that God would open doors for me to get there. In other words, Paul said, he may have hindered me. Instead of me getting discouraged when I got hindered, I just pressed in more in prayer. Hallelujah. I just press more into my faith. I just press more into trusting God. I just press more into getting a hold of what God would have me to do. Hallelujah. In other words, Paul found a way to overcome the hindrance. And so you and I are going to have to learn that in our walk of faith and our run to get to the victory line, there are going to be some things that are going to hinder you from getting there. It may not happen as quick as you thought it would. Amen. Somebody said, I thought this was faith. It is. I'm telling you how to use your faith to fight a good fight. Amen? And get ready and run this race and get where God wants you to go. Now, let's read on. He goes on and he says this. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. See, you're trying to get something that God has for you. He says, therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. You know what he's talking about here? He's saying, run with purpose, keep your eyes on Jesus, and just don't go through the motions. Now, there is a time, church, when you just pray to worship God. That's a good thing. There are times you just read the Bible to read the Bible. That's a good thing. But there are times you pray to get an answer. Amen? There are times that you read to feed the Word in your heart so your faith can grow. There are times that you just go around and confessing Jesus is Lord. But then there are times when the enemy's coming in and it seems like everything's crashing down on you. At that point in time, you need to know how to just not stand there and swing, hope he hits something. You need at that point in time have faith where you say, I know what I'm doing. I'm punching you, devil, in the face with the Word of God. And I'm using the Word as a sword and I'm coming through this thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm going to exert my faith in this, and I'm going to believe you, Almighty God, for this, and I'm not just going to go through the motions. I'm going to act on the Word of God. Amen. See, this is the thing. There are several scriptures that I read out and I pray over myself and stuff. And I remember I'd been doing it, you know, this years ago, but I've been doing this. And I was reading these scriptures and I was claiming these scriptures. And then one day, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, okay, you're reading them and you're claiming them. When are you going to do them? And I said, what? He did. He just interrupted me in my prayer time. I mean, you know, if you don't watch out, folks, you just get to running, don't you? I was just running. It was a good thing. Man, it made me feel good. I am this. I am that. I can do this. I can do that. Hallelujah. And I'd gotten through my little list, and the Lord said, okay, you said them now for several weeks. When you're going to start doing that? He said, those don't last almost until you get off your knees. Because the first time the enemy comes along, you're letting him determine what you're doing. And you know what I had to do? I had to repent and start all over again. Hallelujah. Because it's not just me reading out a scripture. It's just not me claiming a scripture. It is me putting that in me and saying, now I'm going to fight with this word. I'm going to use it as God gave it to me, a sword that's sharp on both ends and something I can use, and I'm going to use it in faith, and I'm going to use it against the devil. Devil, I'm not just going to come out here blindly and start swinging hoping I hit something. I'm going to lock in on what I want. I'm going to believe God and get it. Amen? I'm going to fight with a purpose in my faith that will not be defeated. Hallelujah. So that's what God's speaking to us here. Just don't throw out words. Just don't pray prayers. Lock in on what you're believing God for and get specific and go for it. Are you hearing me? See, these are things that Paul is saying to us. And then notice here the last verse in verse 27. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, the second biggest enemy that you're going to have, which may actually be a bigger enemy than the devil. See, the devil's the first one that's saying. The second biggest enemy you're going to have to fight with lives with you 24/7. No, it's not your wife or your husband. I'm talking about your flesh. Amen. A little humor there, very little. But anyway, praise God. My wife didn't really like it that much. But anyway, wasn't talking about you, honey. Praise God. No, Paul says, I have to discipline my flesh. He says, you know what? I whip the devil with the word, and I get focused, and I overcome these little things that are hindering me, and I come against the little disappointments of life, but then I've got a flesh that I've got to contend with all the time. My flesh wants to get weary. My flesh wants to quit. My flesh wants to grow tired, and my flesh wants to fight me, and my flesh doesn't want to get up and pray when I want to get up and pray. My flesh doesn't want to read the Bible. My flesh doesn't want to praise God. My flesh doesn't want to lift its hands and praise the Lord when it's not feeling like it. My flesh wants to sit down and pout and feel bad. And so Paul says, I have to discipline my body. In other words, I have to get control of my flesh. Because my flesh can disqualify me. How many of you know that if you act carnal, it disqualifies you from getting the blessing? Amen? Even a carnal mind, according to Romans 8, is an enemy to God. And so Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. In other words, if I don't get a hold of my body, it's going to produce death and not life. It's going to stop me from getting the victory that I want. And so therefore, you know what I'm going to have to do? If I'm going to get a hold of my flesh, the first place I have to get a hold of is my tongue. Come on. James over there, I mean, the whole book of James is almost about your tongue. And speaking the word, especially the third chapter. And you know, he gets over there and he says, listen, your tongue is like a rudder on a great ship. He said, you know, it's down there and the helmsman gets up there and he turns his wheel. And that little old rudder that you can't see turns that big ship and sends it right to the right or sends it over to the left. He said, wherever that rudder points is where that ship goes. It don't matter what the waves are. Don't matter what the storms are like. He said, just that little old thing. And he said, isn't that amazing? That's the same way your tongue is. And when Paul says, I have to discipline my flesh, you know what he's saying? He says, I'm going to have to quit complaining so much. I'm going to have to quit fussing so much. I'm going to have to quit talking doubt and unbelief. I'm going to have to quit talking the problem. I'm going to have to get control of my mouth and bring it in subjection to God, because I'm disqualifying myself from walking in victory because of what I'm saying. How many of you found out if you say it long enough, you act like it? Amen. You can talk yourself right into sadness. You can talk yourself into oppression. You can sit around and talk yourself right out of victory. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? See? And so Paul is writing here and he says, I've got to get a hold of my flesh. I can't let myself get wearied in the flesh. You can't let the devil get you to the place where you just want to throw your hands up and quit. Well, what am I going to do then? How am I going to stop that? Well, look over here in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians, the sixth chapter. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Galatians chapter 6. We'll pick it up here in verse 7. Notice that Paul starts off with, do not be deceived. That's pretty good, isn't it? Well, if I couldn't be deceived, why would he tell me not to be? So apparently I can be deceived. And Paul's not writing to sinners, he's writing to Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, Bible-toting, word-speaking, going to church on Sunday night Christians, hallelujah. And he says, do not be deceived. So that means that I'm running this race, I can't get deceived. In other words, I can't get off course. I've got to guard myself. I can't not get distracted. Amen? Because if you're deceived, what are you? You're distracted. You're looking another way. You're thinking another way. You're going in the wrong direction. Amen? So he says, be not deceived, or do not be deceived. Then he goes on, he says this, God is not mocked. Well, he's not. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap. I like the Amplified Bible here in verse 7. I didn't tell him to put it up. But one of the things Amplified says there is this, God is not going to be mocked or sneered at, or, you know, or right down the line. And by his precepts being set aside. You know what happens a lot of times when we're running a race, we start getting tired and the devil's been attacking us and he's been throwing hindrances at us and people have been saying things and our flesh is getting tired and we're getting upset and we're, you know, what happens is this, we have a tendency to set aside the word and the principles of God and decide we're going to do it ourselves. Anybody besides me ever had that problem? I'm just tired of doing what the word says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, God says, don't be deceived. You cannot mock God by thinking you can do it without his word. Amen? And you see, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to take the word of God and just throw it away and decide you're going to do it yourself. I've done enough praying. I've done enough praising. I've done enough going to church. I'm going to do it my way. No, you're not. You're going to mess it up. That's your flesh trying to pull you off the lane that God's got you running in and get you defeated. Amen? So what am I going to do? He says this, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What are you talking about there? He's saying this. He's saying, don't be deceived. You cannot be running this race and get tired and start talking defeat and get victory. You can't sow to your flesh and reap spiritual things. In other words, you can't talk failure and get victory. You cannot talk defeat and get victory. You cannot talk sickness and get healed. You cannot talk poverty and get prosperity. Amen? You're sowing to your flesh and you'll reap of the flesh. In other words, he's saying the moment that you step away from the word of God and you lay aside the precepts of God, you've allowed the devil to win because now he has stolen the word out of your heart, stolen the word out of your mouth, and he's going to get you to sow into your flesh, and all that's going to do is make it worse. What is sowing to the Spirit? Speaking the word, even when you don't feel like it. Speaking the word whenever everything around you looks like it's not working. Speaking the word whenever the devil's whispering in your ears. God doesn't hear you. God's not working for you. It's never going to happen. But you just keep speaking the word. Hallelujah. And as you speak that word, you're sowing to your spirit. And what did Paul say? You're going to reap spiritual things. Hallelujah. See, we're talking about receiving that anointing upon us so that we can run this race and finish our course and get the victory. Amen? See, here's the thing, folks. We could come in here. We could praise the Lord. We could pray in the Spirit. I could preach a quick message, lay hands on you, and you might get a healing. You might get a blessing. But you know what? If you get a hold of what I'm saying right now, you can not only get healed and blessed, you can learn how to stay healed and blessed. Because you see, it's not so much as what you're going to get right now. It's what you're going to get over the next few days and weeks as you run the race. Are you running to obtain? Are you running to win? Are you going to go out of here with the right attitude and the word and the anointing and vision and focus and go out of here saying, God, I don't care if it takes me a day, a week, a month, or whatever. I am going to have what you said I can have. I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to win this thing, praise God. I'm going to win this thing. And you see, if you're not saying that to yourself right now, it's maybe because you've grown weary in your running and your flesh is trying to disqualify you from finishing. Now, don't sit there and say it can't happen to me. Paul said it could happen to him. And I don't think there's any one of us in here that could raise our hand and say that we are a spiritualist, the Apostle Paul. Amen? So if it could happen to the Apostle Paul, it could happen to each of us, couldn't it? Amen? In other words, if Paul could have disqualified himself from winning, then you and I could disqualify ourselves from winning. Amen? So what is God saying to us? He's saying, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary and let your flesh. Don't set aside the word of God. In other words, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, it's going to be a faith fight built on the word of God. Amen? I'm going to take this word, put it in my heart, put it in my mouth, and I'm going to run my race speaking the truth of God's word. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that the word of God is the weapon of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever read that? You know what I'm talking about? Look over in Ephesians chapter 6 real quickly. You're there in Galatians. Just turn a couple pages and you'll be right there. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks to them about the armor of God. And he gets down here and he says here in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The Amplified says, and take the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. And the word W-O-R-D there is the Greek word rhema. You know what that means? The word spoken. Hallelujah. So the sword of the Spirit, or the weapon of the Holy Ghost, is the spoken word. What's the apostle writing to us? He's saying, when you put on this armor, realize that the last thing you got to take is the word and put it in your mouth, because it's the word in your mouth that becomes the weapon the Holy Ghost uses to defeat the enemy and get you the victory. Amen. That's why Paul said in Galatians over in chapter 6, he says, you can't lay aside the principles of God. You can't lay aside the word of God. You can't let the devil steal the word out of your mouth. You can't get upset and decide you can do it yourself. You cannot just get out here and be tough. You cannot just be out here and just get it on willpower. You have to hook up with God, get his desire in your heart, then set your eyes on the finish line, put the word in your heart, put the word in your mouth, and then refuse to quit. Hallelujah. And run with passion, run with purpose, and stay focused. And when the enemy tries to get you off and get you tired, you don't become distracted. You don't look away from Jesus. You don't look away from what you're believing God for. You started this thing and you're going to finish this thing, and you're going to have what God said you can have. Amen? See, that's the determination that you have to win the faith fight. Praise God. And you're going to have competitors. You're going to have the devil. You're going to have the flesh. You're going to have days where the enemy's going to throw all kinds of junk in your way to try to discourage you. And then you're going to have to fight time. How many of you know that time becomes an opponent? See, God doesn't have time. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is. Faith is now. In other words, God lives in the eternal now. It's always now with God. You know what time is going to be with God tomorrow evening at this time? Now. Hallelujah. We're the only ones that have time. So we have the enemy of time comes against us. Well, if God was going to do it, it would have happened by now. If you were going to be healed, it would have happened by now. If you were going to get your breakthrough, it would have happened by now. If you'd have been totally delivered, it should have happened by now. Why? Why? Why does it have to happen by now? The nobleman there in John came to Jesus and said, listen, you got to come down to Cana here and lay hands on my son. He's about to die. You got to come. And Jesus said, you won't believe unless you see a miracle. He said, no, just come. You got to come. And Jesus said, okay, go your way. Your son lives. And you know what the man did? He believed the word of the Lord and turned and took off. And as he's going, the next day he meets some people coming up and he says, hey, guess what? Your son's alive. He began to get better. When did he start getting better? Yesterday, about Sunday, he says, the very moment that Jesus said it, it started happening. Didn't happen immediately. It started happening. You know what I'm saying? And you know what the Bible says? This is the second miracle that Jesus did. You know, the first miracle was the wedding feast where he turned the water into wine. Remember that one? That was an instant miracle, wasn't it? See, sometimes, folks, miracles are boom, they're instant. Sometimes a miracle takes a little time. But if you get impatient and let time come in and start determining your faith, determining your confession, determining your attitude, then time is competing with you to steal your victory. Ooh, got quiet in here again, didn't it? Because you see, a lot of us didn't realize that we're competing against time. We're trying. You can't let time tell you that it's past. You're not going to get there. You're never going to experience it. You can't let time set the date. You can't let time set your race. You can't let time set your faith. Amen? What you've got to do is you've got to use your faith and just get to the place where you enter into such rest with God that you don't care whether it's next week, next month, next year, because I'm praising God and God is working in my life and I'm believing, I receive, and I'm running to get to the victory, praise God. Are you hearing me? Because you see, here's the thing, folks. The Lord wants us to stay full of faith, full of the anointing, full of the Word, full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because He wants you to learn how to enjoy the fight as much as you enjoy the victory. Come on. I'm taking you to another place. You haven't been there. See, here's the thing. If all you are going to do is celebrate the victory, what if it takes you 6 months to get the victory? You had 6 months of turmoil, struggle, and believe in God, and pressure, and then finally you have one day of celebrating. Hallelujah! What if you had to learn how to fight with God, use your faith, count it all joy, rejoice in the Lord, stay full of the Holy Ghost, keep the Word in your mouth, and be a witness for the Lord, and you would have enjoyed the entire 6 months. Amen? You see, folks, that's why Paul said fight the good fight of faith. A good fight of faith is one you enjoy fighting. That you have an attitude of victory. That you have an attitude of joy. That you have an attitude that, praise God, I don't care what comes today. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to win this thing, praise God. And every day I'm getting stronger in the Lord. And every day I'm learning how to trust God. And every day I'm learning how to speak the Word in adverse situations. Every day I'm kicking the opponents and the competitors and the competitors out of the way. I'm keeping my eyes focused. And at the end of the day, you go to bed and you go, glory to God. I may have not got to the finish line today, but I had a great time running. Hallelujah. I grew today. I didn't get defeated today. I'm not weary today. I'm not running around here feeling sorry for myself. I spoke the Word today. I stood against all odds. Today the devil said I wasn't going to make it, but I'm still here. Hallelujah. And I'm closer to the finish line today than I was yesterday. And Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. And you begin to learn to trust God every step of the race. And you learn how to watch God give you victories all through that race. And God keeps you going through that race. And then one day, blessed be God, you're just praising God. And you're so caught up in praising and speaking and believing that you run past the finish line and go, whoa, 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 I got it. Whoa, when did that happen? Hallelujah. And everybody goes, oh, I bet you're celebrating today that you got your breakthrough. I've been celebrating for the last 6 months. Hallelujah. Because you see, I'm like that man that whenever Jesus said it was done, I just turned and walked off and act like it's so. Praise God. And I got the victory. See, God spoke to me years ago when our kids were small. I was always the type, I've always been this press, compete, get there, win personality. I hate to lose. Still do. Very competitive. In my mind, I'm still 18. My body won't let me compete like that, but it tries. But I would do anything. If I was going to do anything, it was get there. And so, you know, the kids would just, we'd go on vacation. And vacation didn't start when I left the church office. It didn't start when I got home. It started when I got to the destination. If it's a 12-hour drive, I went home, packed the bags, get them in the car, get in the back seat. And we'll stop in about 5 hours when I need gas. Hallelujah. And the kids go, Mommy, please tell Daddy, we're starving back here. We got to go to potty. Hold it. We got another hour. I got a quarter of a tank. But whenever we came here, to pastor the church, God spoke to me one time. He said, you should start your vacation the moment you walk away from the office. You should go home and enjoy the packing of the bags. You don't have to enjoy the kids fussing at each other because they want this side and that side. Because you're not going to have that all your life. You don't have to enjoy trying to cram everything in the back of the trunk that you know you aren't going to need. But you're taking anyway. And he said, you ought to go ahead and plan some extra spots where you can get an ice cream and you can pull over and look at the scenery and you can do that. And he said, then instead of having 5 days out of seven, one travel back, he said, you get 7 days. And then he spoke to me this. He said, son, in your ministry, don't race and run so hard to build the church to a certain size that you don't enjoy every time you preach, every time you get with somebody, every time you get to pray. Every day, enjoy the trip as much as the end. He said, that way you'll enjoy it all and not just the successes. And I've learned to do that. And that's what Paul is writing to us here. You aren't going to win every race in one day. You're not going to win every faith battle with one confession. You're not going to get a breakthrough every time with one prayer. There are times you're going to have to pray, and once you've stood and taken your stand, you're going to have to stand there for. And it's your attitude of how you're going to stand during the race that's going to determine a lot on how you finish your race. I would hate to think that 30-some years later, I was still waiting on a celebration. Amen? No, I've celebrated every day. Has it been easy? Not always. Has it been fun all the time? Not always. Has it been struggles at times? Absolutely. Has there been times you wanted to quit? Absolutely. Have there been times you've had to go ahead and stir yourself back up and get back in your lane and decide to take off again? Absolutely. I've dropped the baton. I've tripped and fallen. I've gotten back up. I've got cinders, you know, on my back. You know, I ran when there were cinder tracks. But, I've got places where I fell on the track and had to get back up because somebody tripped me. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? But it's not how many battles you go through to get to your finish line. It's how you handle those things. It's how you keep your eyes on Jesus. It's how you, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to wait till I'm healed to celebrate my healing with Jesus. I'm not going to wait till I got money in my pocket to celebrate that God supplies all my need. I'm going to praise God all the way through it. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. Bonnie and I, we've started works and done things. And I can remember when we started one work up, the one up in Charleston, we got started up there. We always left our doors unlocked in the parking lot of the building we were renting. Why? Because we didn't have any groceries at home. And we were believing God that if somebody wanted to put groceries, they would not be hindered by a locked door. Weren't you concerned somebody break in your car? No, I was concerned somebody wouldn't break in my car. I wanted them to break in and put some bread and milk in there. Hallelujah. You think I'm kidding? No. You know what? But we look back and we rejoice at those days because we were celebrating using our faith and believing God. I've gone through some physical battles that I've never told anybody about. And I've gone through them and taken me several weeks, sometimes a couple months. It's taken me some time to get the symptoms to leave. I've come in here before. In fact, I've preached at some meetings and I was probably the one in more pain than anybody I prayed for in the line. But you know what I did? I was celebrating Jesus all the way through that, speaking my faith, practicing what I preached, and my healings came. But you know what? I was enjoying my walk with Christ even though I was dealing with symptoms in my body. Now, have you run it all right and all perfect? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what I have done. I made sure that I stayed in the race. And I corrected, and whenever my flesh started getting the best of me, I started bringing it back under and buffeting it and exerting some self-control and saying, no, you're not going to act like that. And I began to trust God. And I did what John chapter 7, put that up on the screen in the Amplified. You need to read this. Here's what you need to do, praise God. Now on the final and the most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out with a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You see, when you run this race, folks, there are times you're going to get thirsty. There are going to be times, you know, you think, well, maybe if I could just have more prayer, if I could just have somebody if I could just get another Bible, if I could just do this. No. You don't need another message. You don't need more prayer. You're thirsty. So what am I going to do? I'm going to come to Jesus. Now look what he says. Let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs of rivers of living water. But he was speaking here of the Spirit. You know what Jesus was saying? He's saying there are times that you just need to come to my presence. You're tired, you're wearied, you're frustrated, the enemy's been attacking, your flesh has been trying to tell you, you're hearing all these bad reports. He says, that's the time you just need to come and get in my presence and drink until you get refreshed, until you get refocused, until you get back into that race and you start enjoying yourself again, hallelujah, until you begin to stir yourself, and you begin to see yourself winning again, praise God. See, I want to ask you a question right now. Do you see yourself winning? See, if you don't, you're probably thirsty. You got. If you don't see yourself winning, it's because you've probably used up a lot of the anointing that's in you, and you just need to get a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to show you that you're going to win. He's your strength. He's the one that's going to guide you into the truth. He's the one that's going to witness to your spirit. He's the one that's going to comfort you and counsel you and help you and strengthen you and get you to the finish line, praise God. So what are you believing God for? What are you running for tonight? What's your race? What is it that you're setting your faith for? What is your Mark 11:24? Whatsoever things you desire. What are you desiring from God right now? That's your race. Now, are you just running, or are you running to win? Are you just going to church hoping something happens? Or have you got a plan and a purpose? Are you just doing it when you feel like doing it? Or are you passionate about using your faith? Are you praying with purpose? Are you fighting with fight and believing God? And are you using some self-control? Meaning what? Going ahead and doing it when you don't feel like it. Standing your ground when everything around you says just quit and give up. And if you find yourself getting a little tired, a little wearied, you know what you need to do? You need to come to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I want a drink. I want the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I want to get so full that it flows out of me. Somebody says, how do I know if I'm filled and full? Well, the only thing I can tell you is this. Jesus said, come and drink until out of your belly flows rivers of living water. In Acts 2:4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them the utterance. In other words, something good is going to begin to flow out of you. Amen? Your mouth is going to hook up with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to begin to speak the things of God. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, he says over there that you're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit, in verse 18. Then he goes on and he says this, that he says, being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks unto God and the Father and all things, and in submitting yourself to one another, the fear of God. So he goes along and he says this. He says, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it'll affect what you speak. It'll affect what you sing. It'll affect how your attitude is. It'll affect how you submit to God. So I want to ask you something. What are you talking? What are you singing? What's your attitude? And are you committed to doing it God's way? Because if you're not, your flesh could be pulling you off in the wrong direction. Amen. How'd I get back in the right direction? Come and drink until those things begin to line up back up with God. Well, I feel so bad about it. Quit feeling and just get filled. Amen? Amen. Well, I messed up. You can either stay over there messed up, or you can get back in the race and get filled up. Amen? See, this is what you got to get a hold of, folks. I'm in this to win the race and get what God said I can have. And you know what's so great about it? You know, back when I was a kid, you go into an arcade, you put your quarter in, and you got three plays. If you want Miss Pac-Man or Mr. Pac-Man or all this stuff, you know what? Once they ate you a couple of times, your quarter's done. Remember those? Anybody old enough know what I'm talking about? But you know what they did? They got rid of the quarter for three plays for a quarter, and they came out with games. And you know what these games are? These games are grace games. What do you mean, grace games? Miss Pac-Man can eat you 100 times. All you have to do is hit reset. You don't have to start another game. You just hit reset and reset and reset and reset and reset and reset. And after a while, you get so good, you don't have to hit reset so much. Hallelujah. That's grace. That's God's grace. Amen. He realized under the law, we were losing after three times. And it was costing us all of our money. So God just changed the system and put grace in there and said, I'll tell you what, just keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Yeah, they're going to get you every now and then. But if you keep trying, you'll finally get there. Praise God. And God just says, hit the reset button. How many tonight you need to let God help you to set the reset button? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get your eyes back on that finish line. Get back up there and start running with purpose to get what God said you can have.